As we're going to see today as we look through today's scripture, that when we realize just how great God is, just how great and mighty God is, obedience, serving Him, serving others because of Him, is no longer a burden. It becomes our heart's desire. Obedience becomes easy. Very, very easy. It's like our bodies. God designed our bodies with a sympathetic and a parasympathetic nervous system. And the one is where we get fight or flight. When we're confronted with a dangerous situation or something that gets our blood racing a little bit, we do one of two things, every one of us. It's natural. We cannot help it. In that dangerous situation, we either run away as fast as we can, or our adrenaline gets going, and that's called the fight part. We stay and we stand. We can't help it. We can't help which one takes over. And that's what we're going to see happen with the disciples. When they realize just how mighty and how awesome Jesus was, and when they realize that He is the Messiah, they couldn't help but be obedient and follow Him clear up until death. Jesus' death and their death. I'm going to read Mark 4, 35 through 41. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along, just as He was, in the boat. There were also other boats with them. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Then they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the waves obey Him." This was the moment that the disciples realized that Jesus was more than just a great teacher. And we're going to look at these, and we're going to break it down kind of section by section here in a little bit. But we have to back up. We can't take this passage out of context. We have to back up and look what all was going on there. And Mark's gospel, and I specifically chose Mark's because Mark is very concise, but he also goes in very good chronological order to get to place things in order. But Mark didn't start. He wasn't concerned with the birth of Jesus and the lineage of Jesus like Matthew was. Mark was concerned with the ministry of Jesus, with Jesus' ministry. And that's pretty much where he starts his gospel, with Jesus beginning His ministry. And up to this point, Mark chapter 4, before this, we see Jesus perform a few miracles. He heals some people. And then, as that's taking place, and it doesn't say exactly what order, but as that's taking place along the way, he calls His disciples, and He commissions His disciples to follow Him. And so the disciples have seen a few miracles here and there. They've seen some healings take place. And then they watch Jesus, and He's teaching all before this in chapter 3 in parables. And they're actually struggling to understand, but Jesus is teaching them in parables. And so this is really, really new. The disciples they have to be partly having their heads spinning because they're not all sure what's going on. They just know that Jesus has healed a few people, he's teaching in parables, and we're not real sure what he means by these things when he's teaching in these parables. But nonetheless, there was had to be a lot of intrigue there. They were intrigued with Jesus, but they weren't completely committed yet. They were still trying to figure him out. It's kind of like when you get a new job and you've been there for a few weeks and you know the ropes a little bit, but you're still a little bit confused as to what your exact role is, because a lot of jobs, they don't train you very well. So you know what you're doing, but you really don't. Or marriage. Marriage is a great example. When we first get married, we think we know what we're doing, right? I thought I had it figured out. I mean, I knew my job was to support my family. My job was to get up at sunlight, work all day, become extremely exhausted, and at dark, come in, and my family should be happy with me, right? That's my job, to provide for them. But it took me a while. It took me quite a few years to realize that wasn't it. That wasn't it. What my job was to provide for them, is to provide for them, but also to meet their needs. And part of my family's needs, and it took me a while to realize this, is being there with them and for them. And when you're too busy, I was missing that. And thankfully we through our marriage and communication, we had this realization that I thought I was doing great, and I think I was, but to my family, I wasn't around enough. I wasn't around, and that's what they needed. That's what they needed. And so this moment when I figured it all out, it was like this big aha moment. I wish it was. It took me a long time to get there, but anyhow, Jesus is teaching in parables. And that's kind of how these disciples were figuring it out. It wasn't that they knew exactly what he was teaching, but they were figuring out little bit, piece by piece by piece. And the crowds were even more confused to understand this stuff. Mark 4:33, it gives us a pretty good picture. It says, "With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand." They couldn't understand it all. And it goes on to say, even afterwards, he would take the disciples aside and teach them what he meant when he said that. So there was a lot of confusion going on, to say the least. But in that confusion was also some intrigue. There was something about Jesus that kept the crowds there, that kept them around. Verses 35 through 37 of the scripture today, the text I read. I'm just going to go through it a little bit. But Jesus decides, he's teaching these parables, and he's speculated he's on this boat because the crowds gather on the shore, and it's a nice way to have a little stage. And if you think about it, where there's water, then the land goes up, so the people can probably see him. Well, Jesus is teaching in these parables, and he decides it's time to go. He's tired, he's exhausted, it's time to go to the other side of the lake. And so the disciples, they all in this boat start, I don't know, I'm going to guess here, either rowing or they put the sail up and started to the other side. Started across the lake. They didn't have power boats like we do. They were man-powered. They were powered either by wind or man. And so Jesus is sleeping in the back of this boat while the others are working hard to move him across the lake. And then this furious squall, Mark calls it a furious squall, comes up. It's not just some big waves. It's an out-and-out horrible storm comes up and starts to overtake the boat. And Mark also stresses that they were not the only boats out there. So there's others out there in these storms with them. And this storm is so bad that the disciples are afraid that they're going to sink and die. Now, what were the disciples? Their profession, what were they before this? They were fishermen. They're used to being out on the water. Every one of them, probably, all those that were fishermen, probably have experienced some storms out in the water before. They knew what to do. It wasn't like they were just out there and didn't know what they were doing. This was a nasty storm. This was something that they had never seen before. They didn't have the Weather Channel to predict that this thing was coming. They couldn't pull their phones out and look at radar like we do now and know exactly when this storm is going to get there and when it's going to end. They were scared for their lives. And Jesus is fast asleep. Fast asleep. And even says on a cushion. Sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples, they get to the point they're scared to death and going to wake him up. Think of the unlucky disciple that drew the short straw to wake him up. I mean, I'm guaranteeing they're arguing, well, you wake him. No, you wake him. But they realized that they had to wake him. They were going to die. So they wake Jesus up. They wake Jesus up. And he simply tells the waves to be quiet and the wind to stop. Be still. And perfect calm comes over the water. Now, this passage, we could take it in so many different directions. We could talk about Jesus calming the storms in our life. We could talk about how God's grace, because of Jesus calming that storm and all the other boats on the water, that Jesus saved many, many people. This grace was just a blanket of grace over all of them. We could talk about that. We could talk about, like I said, Jesus calming storms in our life or being with us when these storms hit. But we can also, what we're going to look at a lot, is in verse 41. Verse 41, the disciples, after Jesus performed this miracle, the disciples were afraid. Why were they afraid? The storm's over, right? The storm's over. Jesus calmed the storm. All their fear is gone, right? This is the moment, ladies and gentlemen, in Scripture, and it's in two of the other gospels as well. This is the moment that the disciples realized exactly what or who the Messiah was. They realized that this is the aha moment they had, that bolt of lightning that smacked them over the head, that they realized that Jesus is something amazing, something so spectacular that they were scared. They were completely afraid. They knew he was something beyond of this world. This was their aha moment. Winds, the waves obeyed Jesus. Up to this point, Jesus had performed miracles, healed people. But no time before this had anyone on earth controlled something supernatural. This was big. This was huge in the disciples' eyes. And the disciples had a choice to make now. They were afraid. So what do we do when we're afraid? Our nervous system kicks in. We either run, fight or flight. We stay and take it, or we run as fast as we can. Did the disciples, when they hit shore, run and never look back? No. They stayed. They stayed and became obedient to Jesus. They were obedient. And that is what we're going to focus on the rest of this morning is when we see Jesus, when we see God working in our lives, around us, with people around us, we cannot help but to be obedient. We cannot help but to be obedient when we see Christ working, when we see miracles performed. We can't help but be obedient. God made us different than everything else in nature, from animals to plants. Everything in this world, my microphone's not working. Nothing has a choice like we do to follow Christ. We get to choose whether we want to be obedient to Christ or not. The disciples got to choose to be obedient to Jesus, to follow him after they saw these miracles. Even though they were terrified, they couldn't help but be obedient. They couldn't help but be obedient. Now they had this, we all have this free will. The disciples did, we do, everyone does. We can choose whether or not we want to follow Christ or not. I was taking this, I'm finishing up a philosophy class right now, and philosophy is not a subject I enjoy, okay? Because there's no rights, there's no wrongs. I'm a concrete guy. 2 + 2 = 4, let's move on. But this we can argue everything. And this one philosopher, this article I had to read, was written by an atheist, and he was complaining. He doesn't believe in God, because if God is all-powerful and can control everything, and we have free will, then he should have made us that we freely choose every time to do right. But if God programmed us that way, we're not free to do it. We're no longer free. God gave us this choice. But when we can see Christ working, the choice to be obedient becomes very, very, very easy. One of the mistakes I made as I started my ministry classes is I don't journal well. I don't like to journal. It's something I just can't do. Even when, you know, one of my assignments was to journal for a month, I think the last day before the assignment was due, I penciled in everything so I had something to turn in. I don't journal well. And I wish I would, because I regret not writing down every time that I could see God working in my life or the life of someone around me. Because as I stand here and as I prepared for this message today, I stopped and I tried to think back of all the times where how God has worked in my life or those around me. And I can remember some, but not all. But when you remember those things, boy, does it make it very, very easy to be obedient to Christ. And so if you journal, try that. Or if you think you could, try to think back of the miracles God has worked in your life or those around you. Obedience is not difficult. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I pray, Father, I pray that we can recognize you, that our hearts can see you in our everyday life, can see you where we live, where we work, and where we play, and remember that you are the God that created us, and you control the wind and the weather, and can perform and do perform countless miracles that we miss. I pray that we can see them and that we become obedient, and that that becomes our number one desire. In Jesus' name, amen.